We're going to read further in Ephesians chapter 2 for one verse. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now we'll come over for just a few verses in Luke chapter 5. The Gospel of Luke and reading in chapter 5. And we'll read verse 12. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand," that is the Lord Jesus did, "and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." And that's all that we'll read, and we know that God will add his blessing further to the reading of his precious word. Many, many years ago, a number of years ago, in a series of gospel meetings way out in Glen Ewen, Saskatchewan, went to a house one night for supper, and the mother in the house said to us, "You better go back to the bedroom and speak to Tracy." Tracy was 9 years old. Went back to the bedroom, sat down beside Tracy, little brief conversation, and I asked Tracy, "Is there something you want to tell me?" And she looked at me, and Tracy said, "I got saved last night." 9-year-old girl. And when I asked her to give me some of the details, I was rather surprised, because what I have read tonight was read that night. And Tracy said, a 9-year-old girl said, "I saw myself unclean like that leper." I must confess, I wondered what a 9-year-old girl would know about being unclean like a leper, but that's what she said. I saw Tracy 2 years ago at a conference in Glen Ewen, Saskatchewan, and Tracy, a beautiful Christian woman, saved, on the way to heaven, 2 young children, husband. Thank me for that night that Tracy saw herself unclean as the leper. When I come to what I have read tonight, I want you to think for a moment of the leper as a picture of a sinner. We've been hearing about that already. And as that leper would look at his hand, look at his body, where he saw the leprosy and the awful ravaging of that disease, and when the Lord touched him, it was gone in a moment of time. That's just like the sinner, realizing their need as a sinner. And in a moment of time, realizing that the precious blood of Christ can take away their sin, and trusting him, knowing that their sin is gone in an instant, in a moment of time. I want to think for a moment of this leper. Let me describe him for you just for a brief moment to make an application of this. This leper, at some point in his life, would look at his hand. Now, I've never seen leprosy to my knowledge, but I've certainly read about leprosy, and I've read Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14, 2 chapters in the Bible that give a graphic picture of leprosy. And this man would look at his hand or at some part of his body, and he would see a little white sore. And that would cause him some concern. And then later a little hair coming up out of that sore. And he would really be concerned. And when those sores would start to spread, and he would realize that he had leprosy, he would understand that that terrible disease, in the end, was going to take his life. I believe that Paul, when he wrote Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, had the leper in mind. Dead in trespasses and sin. The leper was a picture of walking death. A sinner walking down the highway, past the hall here, on the highway, is a picture of walking death. And they don't know it. But the only difference between them and the leper is the leper understood it and they don't understand it. I just want for the next few minutes to draw your attention to this leper. You'll notice that the diagnosis, the story is given to us in Mark's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel. But you'll notice that Luke says, Luke is a doctor, he gives us a medical diagnosis of this man. He says he was full of leprosy. He was on the very verge of death. His flesh was being consumed. the extremities of the body were dropping off and decaying. We have had emphasized tonight how filthy, how dirty sin is. And that's what this leper is a picture of. The awful ravages of sin. A burning fever raging away in his body. And it wouldn't be very long, and this man would be at the point of death, a leper. How that leper would appear to the eyes of men is how a sinner appears to the eyes of a holy God. But I don't believe today that we can emphasize the awfulness of sin. As God looks on and he sees individuals in their sin, all have sinned, every one of us, and come short of the glory of God. Sinners, pictured by this leper. As men see the leper, God sees the sinner in all of the awfulness of sin. I believe tonight that a person must see themselves as a sinner before they get saved. And so I want you to notice the leper. I'm going to notice six things about the leper, and I might have to eliminate one or two of them. I want you to notice, first of all, that this leper was incurable. I'm not talking about the year 2009. I'm going back to the early century when this leper appeared before the Lord Jesus Christ. This leper was incurable. There was nothing could be done for him. Luke the doctor couldn't cure the leper. There was no remedy. There was no drug. There was no injection of any kind that could cure the leper. All this man had to look forward to was to death. We sing a hymn. It's in the Greek hymn book. I don't think we say it very much. The worst of all diseases is light compared with sin. On every part it seizes, yet rages most within. Dropsy, palsy, fever, madness, all combined. And none but a believer the least relief can find. Sin, an awful disease. And you hardly know you have it. Unless the Spirit of God is working. I was like my brother, you know. Well, my father wasn't a preacher. I was raised in a gospel hall. I heard about it, that I was a sinner from the time that I was as early as I could remember. But it didn't really grip my soul until I realized it was all true, that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And so this man, incurable. But you'll notice something else about this man. This man knew that he was a sinner, knew that he was a leper. You wouldn't have to persuade him like we have to do in a gospel meeting. We spend a lot of our preaching trying to persuade people, looking to the Spirit of God to impress upon them, trying to persuade them that they are a leper, that they are a sinner. This man knew that. No one would have to tell him, you're a leper. He knew it. It's one of the difficulties today. The sinners don't understand. They don't realize the awfulness of sin. They don't understand the terrible consequences of an eternity in their sin. I want to tell you tonight that hell is real. And the lake of fire is real. And it causes those of us who are saved sometimes tearfully to pray for those that we know that they would trust Christ because we know their destiny, but they don't understand the terribleness of an eternity without Christ. And so this man, he would have to walk down the street away from everyone. He couldn't come near to people, and he would go down the road, and he would have to have his head. He would have to have his head bare. He would have to have his upper lip covered, and he would have to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. He would have to announce it as he made his way along the road. I'm unclean. Unclean. Let me just ask us all here. I don't know everyone here who I'm speaking to. But let me just ask every one of us. Have we really discovered before God that we are unclean? My sin troubled me before I was saved. I was concerned about my sin. I remember even as a boy of 5 or 6 years of age, that was when polio would come across the country as a plague during the summertime. And I remember that I was afraid, I was petrified, that I was going to get polio. And I remember one night hanging on to the bedpost of the bed and shaking because I knew that if I got polio or if I died in my sins, I'd be in hell. I knew that. That troubled me, even as a little boy. Sin. This man knew it. You wouldn't have to convince him that he was a leper. He knew it. What did he notice secondly, thirdly? That this man recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know how he heard about the Lord Jesus. At some point, someone must have at least got a message across to him that there was a man from Nazareth passing that way, and that it might be possible, might just be possible, if he could get to this man, that his leprosy might be cured. You know, really, that was a great thing for this man to understand that. If you go back to the next chapter in Luke's Gospel, you would read that there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Naaman the Syrian, but none were cured. Only one man, Naaman, and he wasn't an Israelite, he was a Syrian. There was no leper ever brought this sacrifice that was required for the cleansing or the purifying of the leper to a priest. The priest would wonder if someone came with that sacrifice because that had never happened. And so this man must have had some faith to realize that there is the within the realm of possibility that if I can get to this man, if I can get to this man called Jesus, if I can just get to him, he might possibly be able to cure me of my leprosy. Amen. It came. I thought to myself, it's almost like an apparition when this man appeared. He wasn't supposed to be there. He was supposed to keep his distance. He wasn't supposed to come near to other people. And yet here he is, and we find this man coming to the Lord Jesus. And you'll notice what it says. He fell at his feet. Pride's gone. This man's not concerned what anyone else thinks. Someone might look at him and say, look at the silly leper at the feet of Christ. But this man's not concerned about that. He's only concerned about one thing, his leprosy. And that's the same as a sinner. A sinner has one great problem that ought to concern them. It's the only problem that should concern them. My sin. I've only been in Garnavello, Iowa once. It's on our honeymoon. And we stayed with a man, Mr. Herbert Werkler. Mr. Werkler owned the town bank in Garnavello. Or at least he was the president of the town bank. Maybe I should be careful what I'm saying there. The only time that I ever saw an American $2 bill, Mr. Werkler showed it to me in that bank. You wouldn't be in Mr. Werkler's house very long, but what he would tell you how he got saved. That's a good thing. It's kind of something about a Christian, you know. They want to tell others how they got saved. And so Margaret and I were sitting in the front room in Mr. Werkler's house, and he started to tell us about Mr. McBain coming to Garnavello, Iowa, and putting a tent up. Mr. Werkler was a righteous man, clean living man, he thought. He thought that everything in his life was in order. He thought that he was all right for heaven. He never saw himself as a sinner. And he wondered what Mr. McBain, what that tent going up in Garnavello, Iowa, a clean town, why that man was ever there. So he said, I sat in this chair that I'm sitting in now, and I'm looking out the window, and I saw people going down the street to the tent. And then I watched an hour or so later, they're coming back from the tent. I watched that for a few nights, going down to the tent, coming back from the tent, and the curiosity got the best of him. And so one night, the clean living gentleman, the president of the town bank, made his way down to the tent. And when he left, he was angry. He said, I left in a rage. I stormed out of that tent. And I stormed down the street into the house here and sat in the chair. He said, I determined I'm never going to go back to that tent. What right does that man have to come to Garnavello, Iowa and tell me I'm a sinner? And I'm not going to heaven. I'll be in hell. Interesting thing, though, when God gets hold of a person, the next night, Mr. Werkler was back in the tent. He left angry that night. And the next night, back to the tent. And then he was going to the tent every night. And this is what he told me. He said, I sat in this chair one night after I came home from that tent. And I sat here until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, going over everything that I was hearing in that tent. And he said, then I lifted my voice up. And I said to God in heaven, I'm guilty as charged. Sinner. That's where God brings the person, the sinner. Brings them to that point in their life when they agree with God. They are the sinner. You'll notice that this man was earnest. That's a difficulty, isn't it? Not only that people will agree with God, I'm a sinner, but then they're not earnest about doing something about it. This man was in earnest. This was the most important issue in his life. Have his leprosy cleansed. And the most important issue in a sinner's life is to have their sins forgiven. And he said to the Lord Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, whenever a sinner says something like that, when that's the language of a sinner, if thou wilt, I'm unclean, I'm not going to heaven, I'm not suitable for the presence of God as I am, but if thou wilt, I can't do anything myself, I'm totally helpless, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, that must have been like music to the ears of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately when that man said that, the Lord Jesus did something that no one had done to this man for a long time. He had never had a kind hand placed upon him for weeks and months and perhaps even years. And here's a defiled leper. No one else would touch him. But the Lord Jesus put out his hand and he said to this leper, I will, be thou clean. We've been hearing tonight that there's only one way that sin can be cleansed. One way that sin can be removed. And that one way is the precious blood of Christ. And the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, and his precious blood was shed. That precious blood alone and only can remove sin. There's no other cleansing, and there's no other way. I put the verse to you again. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And just as this leper in a moment of time would look at his body, look at his hand, and there's no leprosy. The leprosy's gone. What a moment. I almost give you the date. I won't do that. When I sat on the edge of a bed, and in a moment of time, when I was reading the words of John 5 and 24, I think Mr. Cross is reading the same words, I discovered that I had eternal life. That my sins were all forgiven, and that the Lord Jesus had died for me at Calvary. His precious blood was shed for me. My sins were gone. What a moment. You know the story. You know the poem of the old violin. I love the poem. The auctioneer's going to auction off the old violin. I'm not going to quote the whole poem to you. I could do that. He's going to auction the violin, and he puts it up for a dollar, two, three. And then the gray-haired man comes up and he picks up the violin and he begins to play it. And the poet says he played a melody as a caroling angel sings. And then the auctioneer quietly picked up the violin and now it's $1,000, $2,000, who will make it $3? The people cheered, but some of them cried. We do not understand. What change it's worth? Quick came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. Many a man, many a woman, boy or girl, with life out of tune, battered, scarred by sin, auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin, a mass of pottage, glass of wine, a game. He travels on, he's going once, going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul. And the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. That can happen tonight. If you're willing to take your place as a sinner at the feet of Christ. And acknowledging I'm unclean. I'm not fit for heaven. But understanding, taking in by faith that the precious blood of Christ was shed to cleanse me from my sin. I can know my sins forgiven tonight. I can know for certain that I'm on the way to heaven. Because I've taken it in. That Jesus died for me. And if anyone here is not saved tonight, may they just drink in that simple, precious truth. I'm going to quote Brother Brian's theme again. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.